This morning's scripture will come from the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, and verse 19. In the Bibles provided, it's on page 698. Once again, Isaiah, chapter 43, and verse 19. And the scripture reads, "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert."
Good morning. Well, I'm Charles Hampton with Georgia Agape. I've been there since June of 1997. So I've been here a while, and I remember in times past back in the classrooms back in the hallway, we would have foster parent trainings back there, and then after that, we would have ongoing foster parent trainings. We'd also have trainings that you'd have to take to be a foster parent. So there's some folks here that have connections both through adoption, foster care, and former employees of ours, and so I really appreciate the opportunity to come, and I really appreciate the opportunity to readjust my schedule. On October the 23rd, my brother-in-law of 50 years had passed, and so we had to make a quick trip out to Texas for the funeral. So I appreciate the opportunity to come back and be able to talk to you about Agape. For me, this has been a significant year. It represents the first full year of semi-retirement from Agape. On June the 30th of 2017, I ended 44 years of professional work in foster care, adoption, and children's home work. And on that same date, I ended 20 years of full-time work with Agape. I've now moved to a part-time role. I'm still assisting Agape. The main thing that I'm doing is when the foster parents get their training to be foster parents, after they get that training done, then I take over and I do the foster home study that's required for them to actually become a foster parent. So that's mostly what I'm doing now, and also coming to talk to congregations on behalf of Agape, especially in the fall when we have our Thanksgiving appeal. My other job is, as my wife would put it, is house husband. When you're semi-retired, or maybe even when you're retired, I think the job description grows more. All those things that you wanted to get done, you start working on. So I've started painting the house and doing a lot of other things. And I think yesterday I got my son-in-law, and we got up in the attic and got all the Christmas stuff down. But I enjoy the being able to slow down a little bit. But I also enjoy still being able to be connected with Agape and help out in a variety of ways. And I really appreciate the support that this congregation gives Agape. It's very important, especially with the Thanksgiving appeal coming up. That's our largest individual resource comes from the giving by congregations during the Thanksgiving appeal. So it's very important in being able to serve children and families. And so your response to that would be greatly appreciated. When we look at our statistics at Agape, we do that at the end of October 31st is the end of our statistical year. And this year we have served 37 children in foster care so far, and 18 of those children are new. We've also had an unusual year in being able to serve maternity clients. We've had six newborn infants placed for adoption this year, and that's probably double last year. So, one of those families I was able to do the home study on earlier, and so they gave me a call the other day, and you could just tell the excitement in their voice. And it's just really neat to help families, whether it's through foster care or adoption, to be able to serve others. We also had three children that were in foster care in DFACS custody that have been adopted by Agape. One thing that we've started this year, and it's going to be a 2-year campaign, is called our 50 and 50 campaign. Our 50th anniversary will be in 2020. And we are committing ourselves through our board, our staff, and asking congregations to participate. We are going to shoot for 50 new foster families between here and the end of 2020. There are an enormously large amount of children out there that need foster families. And there aren't enough foster families. When you look at the whole picture of whether it's a county foster family or a foster family connected to a private agency, there are more children there than there are people who serve. And there's a real need there. And so if you have any questions or interest in that area, give me a call. I'll leave some of my cards, or catch me after church, or get with the church secretary, or however you can do that. Get a hold of us, and we'll be glad to come and sit down in your home and just talk about what it means to be a foster parent. And so it's important to reach out and serve. I will be 70 in March of next year. For some reason, when we reach that age, we look back over what's transpired. That really came to bear on my 50th high school reunion last year when we went up back to Texas, Pampa, Texas, where I graduated from high school. And in that vein, I would like to share with you some of the lessons that I have learned over the past 45 years of Christian service in foster care, adoption, and working with families. Let me give you a little background. My first wife, Madeline, passed in 2008 after our being married for 39 years. I remarried in 2014 to my wife, Myra. She would have been here today with me, but she was with a group of our ladies up in, is it Hiawassee or Hiawassee? Whatever it's called, they were up there, and they're actually going to be traveling back this afternoon and be back home. For our honeymoon, Myra and I went on an Alaskan cruise. Our room had a small veranda where you could go out the sliding glass door and go out there and sit. And just it's an amazing cruise. If you ever have the opportunity to do that, it's just amazing. You take away all the clutter of buildings, and you take away anything electrical, and you just see what God's created. And to me, it was just an amazing trip, an amazing experience. And on one occasion, I took a notepad and went out on the veranda. There was a couple of chairs and a little table out there, and just went out there and just started writing down some things. And I wrote down probably 30 things that I had learned about serving others. And I won't cover all 30 today. But my comments today have a basis in Isaiah, the 43rd chapter. And I'd like to read Isaiah 43:1-19, talk about that passage, and then relate some experiences that I've learned about serving others. Isaiah 43:1-19. But now, this is what the Lord says, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not send you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give men in exchange for you, and people in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Lead out those who have eyes but are blind, who have ears but are deaf. All the nations gather together and the people assemble. Which of them foretold this and proclaim to us the former things. Let them bring in their witnesses to prove they were right, so that others may hear and say, it is true. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me no God was formed, nor will there be one after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and apart from me there is no Savior. I have revealed and saved and proclaimed, I, and not some foreign God among you. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, that I am God. Yes, and from ancient days I am he. No one can deliver out of my hand. What I act, who can reverse it? This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake I will send to Babylon and bring down as fugitives all the Babylonians and the ships in which they took pride. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator, your King. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. I think the most important thing I've learned over 45 years of service is that God is number one. God is number one. His Spirit and His teachings are inside this body of ours. When we come in contact with situations, good or bad, we are directed by His principles and how to respond. Those responses should be action driven by God, not by the outside pressure or the prevailing opinion. We have so many things in this society of ours that give us an opinion. You know, I don't know what Twitter, chatter, what are all those things are. It's opinion. Stuff just keeps coming. Facebook, you know, TV programs. And the thing I don't like a lot are political campaign ads. I think the only people that benefit sometimes in the political season are the people who get revenue for the TV ads. There's just so much stuff that comes out, and a lot of it's negative. And we have to be careful, or we get driven by opinion and by somebody's strong opinion. Somebody can have a strong opinion and be absolutely against God's will. We have got to be focused on God as number one. That God created me in a special way. He created me with deep feelings and deep thought. He created me with individual talents and abilities. That's lesson number one for me. Lesson number two, God knows me by my name. Think about this. I got to go to Honduras back in the late 80s with two of my teenage children and a group of youth, and we were in the middle of nowhere. It's probably 100 miles to any city. And so at 10 o'clock at night, the generators went off, and there was no light anywhere. Absolutely dark. Well, guess what? We could walk outside, and we could look up in the sky and see the Milky Way. I'm talking about the real Milky Way. It looked like somebody took baby powder and just went like that. That's how clear the sky was, because there was nothing to block it out. That is probably a grain of sand of what God has created. You understand that? God is so immense that we don't even know what all exists out there. Even with the Hubble telescope, it goes way out there and sees things and satellites that go out and take pictures and send it back. That may just be a grain of sand on what's out there. That same God knows me by name. That really humbles me. But it also makes me love that God, because He chose, in all of His power and all of His might, to know me as an individual person. Let me give you an example. I have a 2-year-old granddaughter named Micah. We were up there in early October up in Kentucky, in Kentucky, spending some time with them, and I was in the big overstuffed, these overstuffed chair with the ottoman. I was leaned back in that and had my legs out on the ottoman, and Micah comes, crawls up in my lap, and then she scooches down where, and I didn't have any shoes on, and she was barefooted. She put her feet on top of my feet, laid her head back on my legs, and grabbed both of my thumbs in her hands. I thought, life is good. Life is good. She knows God because other people love her. Her parents love her. She doesn't read them yet, but she knows God, and God loves her. In contrast is my brother-in-law, Phil Collard, who passed away on October the 23rd. He was a minister in the Churches of Christ for over 50 years. He and I married sisters. He married Beth and I married Madeline. We got married within a month of each other that summer. Next to losing Madeline, I think Phil was the hardest loss that I've experienced in terms of family. God loves you whether you're a 2-year-old Micah or a 75-year-old Phil. He loves you. Lesson 3, verses 2-4, it says, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." God didn't say, when you become a Christian, it's going to be easy. He didn't say that. He says, I'm your God, I know you by name, I will always be there. Our children and families at Agape come from a hard place. Our children experience abuse, neglect. Our families experience marital problems, infertility. I guess my desire to serve children at Agape came out of my own life experience. When I was a teenager, I was abused by an adult. Excuse me. When we went to the funeral of my brother-in-law, I was back in the area where I grew up in the panhandle of Texas. And you know when you have a deep loss, you know what it does? It brings other losses up to the surface. That can catch you by surprise sometimes. And what I didn't realize is that it brought up some of that old stuff that had to do with my own personal abuse. And it hit me pretty hard. But what it also did, it made me remember why I went to graduate school to get a degree in social work and why I spent the last 45 plus years reaching out to others. You can take a deep pain that's in your life and you can let it wear you down and ruin you. Or you can take that same pain and work through it with God and many times professional help and hone your skills to reach out to those that come from hard places. Lesson 4, do not be afraid. Verse 5, for I am the Lord your God. Sorry, verse 5, do not be afraid, for I am with you. He goes on to talk about how he was with the children of Israel. Sometimes we are limited by our fear. We're limited by a fear of what somebody might say about us. Sometimes we have a lack of confidence. If we walk with God in Jesus, we should not be living in fear. We are eternal beings in a limited body. That knowledge and understanding and the confidence it gives us should give us peace. I remember Melba Phillips, a longtime foster parent of ours, and she and Philip, her husband, would take these little babies that were just malnourished and newborn, and they were just medically just having a struggle. And they were retired at this time, and they would take those babies and just nurture them, and he'd do the night shift and she'd do the day shift, and they just had it, you know, they had it down to a science, how to take these little babies and just bring them back to life and see them sparkle. Well, she was in the hospital one day, flat on her back, and she'd had some heart problems and just in a bad spot. And I went to visit her at the hospital, and I sat there talking to her, and she told me about a conversation she just had with the nurse. She was telling them about Christ. There she was, we thought she was going to pass it in a few days, talking about Christ. She had confidence in where her life is and was going to be, where her spirit was going to be if she did pass. Well, that was 10 years ago, and she's still going strong. I always appreciated that lesson from her. Don't be afraid when difficult situations come your direction. This is going to happen in foster care. Kids are going to come from hard places. Don't let that scare you off. We are in, unfortunately, in the city of Atlanta, a spot where the sex trade of young children is awful. How many of you would like to watch the Super Bowl? A few? Guess what else happens during the Super Bowl? When the largest influx of individuals with a lot of money, and one of the largest, if you count it by numbers, number of children sold to those individuals for sex. That may sound hard, but it is hard. And out of those situations come some of the children that we serve at Agape. This is not a clean world. This is a world with a lot of pain, a lot of difficulty. And if we can, as Christians, reach out and serve those who the Lord served, then we need to sit down and think about it. And we can't all be foster parents, but we can all support one another in prayer. And some of us can reach out in a special way. Some of us can be trained professionally like I am. Some of us can be trained as foster parents. Some of us can pray for those folks. We all have a role in this journey. Lesson 5. You are a chosen witness and a servant of mine. As a child of God, we are witnesses about our relationship and about serving others. We need to use our life experiences to reach out. We all have a different life experience. It varies. I grew up in poverty and in abuse, and my dad was an alcoholic, and they divorced, and all kinds of stuff. And I could sit here and say, poor me. Or I can say, This is a life experience I've had. God's given me some skills. Take those life experiences and make contact with those, especially those that have been through your journey. I have had the privilege to interact with thousands of hurting individuals in my 45 years of service. God has always been there in the middle. We may never know what impact we've had on other people, but God does. Lesson 6. Do not dwell on the past. We should accept what's happened in the past. But God doesn't want us to get stuck in the past, but learn from it. We won't forget it. We will never forget it. But God gives us the ability to learn from what's happened in our lives. Remember Moses, Joshua, and others. Remember those who said, let's go back to Egypt. It's human nature to go back what we know but may not be healthy. Our kids in foster care want to do that. They want to go back to their family because it's familiar. But in many cases, it's unhealthy. In many cases, it's very tragic. But in many cases, our foster parents and our staff can help those birth parents to make it healthier, and they can go back. It's a good thing. But don't dwell on the past. Don't let that consume you. I had to turn loose of the person that abused me. I had to let go of that. Because for a while, that was controlling my life. And through some therapy and through some spiritual growth, I was able to forgive that person. It doesn't mean I forget what happened, but it means God is there. God gives me the ability to give forgiveness. And that's important for us to remember. And finally, God makes a new way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. I have seen children come into our office, and I always look at the eyes of a child. The eyes of a child tells me where that child is at a lot. And I can see in those eyes when they first come a lot of times, there's something deep missing in those eyes. There's a lack of sparkle. The body language is it's muted. And what I see over time is a growth in those children. And I see them begin to play again. I see them begin to sparkle. And those eyes come alive. And that's our goal at Agape, is to help those that come in that are in a hard place and help them get back to where their eyes shine again. The words desert and wasteland invoked images like no water and nothing to eat. But what does it say? God provides streams in the midst of those settings. It doesn't say those settings go away. He says in the midst of what seems like overwhelming difficulty, Christ and God provide a stream. We are called at Agape to make a new way for those who bring their struggles to us for professional help. We are the light. We are like a light in the darkness. We are God's light in that darkness. We are to be a taste of cool water in the middle of the desert. 45 years ago, I began my professional career through Christian foster care, children's homework, and adoption. 20 of those years right now with Agape. But most importantly, 52 years ago, I was baptized and began my journey as a Christian. On my trip to Pampa that I talked about for my 50th anniversary, I took my wife, Myra, and went by the Mary Ellen and Harvester Church of Christ where I was baptized. That is where my journey began. I would hope that you make the most important decision of your life to become a follower of Christ. That is more important than who you've married, who you will marry, whether you have children. That's the most important decision you'll ever make. because that changes you. And by God changing you, you have the healthiest way to reach out and help others change. I was watching a movie about Paul the Apostle. It was on TV, and it's my second time to watch it. And it gave, you know, it's a movie, but the message was seemed to be pretty definitive and said, wow, here's this man who put to death the Christians, who turned around, is now preaching, trying to save folks through Christ. God wants us to recognize that we are lost in a sinful world, and that we need the saving power of Jesus. When I was baptized for the remission of my sins, I entered into an eternal relationship, not a time-limited relationship on this earth, but an eternal relationship. I've tried over these many years to study His Word and serve others. Christ gave His life so that you could be with Him and His Father for eternity. I don't know what that's going to be like, but even just the limited language that's in Revelation, it will be amazing. Think about this. Think about being in a place without the presence or influence of God. That's my way of understanding hell. Here on this earth, we have an influence of God in the midst of the evil. In hell, there will be no presence of God. It'll be total, pure, undefiled evil. And as bad as this world is right now, that's even worse. But think about the purity of our relationship in heaven. We have a limited amount of that now. But think about the purity, the unfettered relationship that we'll have with God in eternity. That makes me smile. That makes me feel comfort. Because I know that's where my wife has gone. And that's Phil and other relatives and other Christians that I've known. I know that's where they're going to spend their eternal life. That gives me comfort. God raised Christ from the dead, showing His power over this time-limited human life. And that's why this Lord's Supper is so important. You could make unleavened bread and juice just about anywhere. Very simple items. Baptism, water. But boy, the power of those messages. Eternal life, the sacrifice, born again, to rise up and eventually rise eternally. I could go on forever, but I'm going to stop. If you have a need to respond to the invitation, please think about it. Don't be afraid. This is a group of loving folks here. They will help you along that journey. They've been on that journey themselves. They will help you on that journey. And if you've not become a part of God's kingdom through baptism, you don't have to be perfect to start the journey. You start it where you're at. God helps you come closer to Him. If you have a need to respond to the invitation, please come as we stand and sing.